Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
King Solomon of Israel undertook many building projects, apart from the building of a magnificent temple of God. And these included his palace and another palace for his Egyptian princess wife. He also rebuilt whole cities for housing his military units and supplies. By this time, Solomon had become famous in the eyes of the world, not only for his wealth, but also for the great knowledge and insight that God had given him while he was young. Despite God's blessings on Solomon, Solomon's long-term plans allowed him to marry various foreign princesses in order to keep peace with the surrounding nations. By the end of his life, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 secondary wives, called concubines. Most of these women were pagans who didn't believe in or worship God Almighty, the God of Israel. These wives brought into Solomon's palaces their own beliefs and customs with them. This had an adverse effect on the Israelite people. Solomon's wives encouraged the people to turn away from God's commands because Solomon had started doing so too. In today's Bible adventure drama, an unnamed young man wanted to defy his Israelite parents' requirements to marry a God-fearing Israelite woman by marrying a pagan one instead.
Mother, I've fallen in love with a beautiful young woman from Ammon. I want you to talk to Father and see if...
Talk to Father and see what?
Well, I want you to go to Jeshai the Ammonite and ask for his daughter Tamri to be my wife.
Son, does she worship the true God?
Well, no, but I'm sure I can convert her.
Son, God has cautioned us against marrying unbelievers. You must not go contrary to God's direct instructions, especially in a matter as important as marriage.
But I can convert her to our beliefs. I know I can. Mother, talk to him.
I agree with your father, son. God cannot bless a union with an unbeliever.
But I want her. And if King Solomon, who by all accounts is so very wise, if he can marry several heathen wives, I ought to be able to marry one. And I will.
How can you tell a young person that King Solomon, who is renowned for his wisdom, and whom God has greatly blessed, how can you say that Solomon has, nevertheless, disobeyed God by marrying heathen wives?
It would be easier if he were older or mature enough to be aware of Solomon's gradual apostasy.
Yes, because Solomon did stay very close to God for years. And even after he first married a heathen wife, the princess from Egypt, he seemed to obey God explicitly in every other way.
And Israel prospered. But now...
Yes, now. Solomon seems to be money and power mad. Our taxes have been increased to the point that they're really oppressive.
However, what worries me now is Solomon's influence on our son.
Why is it that it is so much easier to influence people to follow after evil than to follow after righteousness?
We must pray that God will keep our son from taking this heathen girl to wife.
Infatuated by the beauty and the flattering attention of women from many idol-worshipping lands, Solomon built an imposing array of buildings to be used as idolatrous shrines. To please his wives, he placed huge idols, unshapely images of wood and stone, within sight of the temple of the living God of heaven. Then God spoke to him in a dream.
Solomon, inasmuch as thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I commanded thee, I will surely take away the crown of Israel from thy seed forever. Howbeit, for David's sake, I will not take away all the kingdom, but I will give a part to thy son for my servant David's sake.
Then Solomon awoke.
I suppose I have forsaken God. I seem to regard luxury, self-indulgence, and the favor of the world as greatness. But if I gain the whole world and lose my own soul, what have I profited?
In chapter 11 of the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament, we read the sad downfall of one of the greatest men ever to walk on earth, Solomon had been so blessed by God in his reign, and he also shared in the covenant promises that God had given to his father, King David. But as he grew older, Solomon no longer remained fully devoted to the Lord. His heart had become divided, because now he loved his foreign wives more and had begun to follow their gods instead of staying true to his. Although Solomon never completely forsook God, he mixed his worship of the living God with the worship of other lifeless pagan gods. In doing so, he broke the most fundamental rules of God's covenant. In Exodus chapter 20, God had said to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, "Worship no god but me. Do not bow down to any idol or worship it, because I am the Lord your God and I tolerate no rivals." Solomon's life provides an obvious example of what happens when a person enters into an ungodly relationship and compromises with evil to love the things of the world. If the great Solomon could fall into sin by giving into these temptations, so can everyone else too. Solomon didn't follow the Lord completely as his father David had done. Although David had committed grave sins during his lifetime, he always confessed them and turned back to the Lord in repentance. As a result, David's sins, but not always their consequences, were cancelled by God, and David continued to follow the Lord completely in his heart. In time, the Lord became angry with Solomon, because he had blessed the now wayward Solomon by appearing to him twice, the second time in particular to warn him against doing the very things he was now doing. Solomon wasn't simply falling into an occasional sin of double-mindedness. By now he had developed a sinful attitude that resulted in him choosing to continue in his sins. So God announced to Solomon that he would take away the kingdom from Solomon's son Rehoboam, but leave Solomon's descendants only the 12th tribe of Judah, so that God could keep his promise to David and preserve Jerusalem. How could it be that the wisest of men had become the greatest of fools? Although Solomon had been given supernatural wisdom to distinguish between right and wrong in court matters, he'd become unable to distinguish between what was right and wrong in a moral or spiritual sense. True wisdom is spiritual in quality. Solomon himself wrote in Proverbs chapter 9 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. With that so, then the fruit of wisdom is to walk in all the ways of the Lord and to serve him with all one's heart. It's not how we start out in life that counts, it's how well we finish our earthly life in the calling God has called us to walk in. Solomon had been faithful to God for many years, but sadly, he didn't continue to do so in the second half of his reign. God had warned Solomon that he would take away the Israelite kingdom from Solomon and his family and instead give it to one of his officials. But Solomon didn't repent. So God began to bring trouble on Solomon from some of the nations that had been subject to him for many years. God declared that he would humble David's descendants because of Solomon's sin, but not forever. One day in the distant future, the kingdom would be reunited under God's son, Jesus Christ, who is also a son of David at that time yet to come. Although Solomon was named as an ancestor of Jesus' stepfather Joseph in the Gospel of Matthew, in Luke chapter 3, Jesus' mother Mary was mentioned as descending from King David through his son Nathan, but not Solomon. What a huge price Solomon paid for not repenting of his sin and taking a stand against the worship of false gods in the nation that he ruled. In total, Solomon ruled for 40 years in Jerusalem. Solomon's life and death teaches us one important thing. It's our relationship with God that brings lasting success, not our ability or our own wisdom. Solomon lost his relationship with God, and it was only at the end of his life that he realized that apart from God, everything is meaningless. He wrote this insight in the last of his three books of the Bible, in Ecclesiastes. Solomon became aware that life can have meaning as long as it is lived in dependence on God and in accordance with his will. It's living life without God that is meaningless, and in fact, hopeless. There are limits to human wisdom, and as a result, humans cannot fully understand God's ultimate purposes. Instead, people must simply trust God and act on the knowledge and direction that he gives them. God's purposes will ultimately result in good for those who love him and obey him. The book of Ecclesiastes teaches us that living a life that is not centered on God is utter foolishness. While there's still time in this age of God's grace to receive full pardon for our sins and inherit the kingdom of God, consider your current position before God. Are you his loyal subject and part of the kingdom of Christ? Or are you a rebel, wanting to do things your own way, even when it's harmful to yourself and others around you? Ask yourself, if you died today, would the Lord Jesus welcome you into heaven? Or would he say that he never knew you? This is a serious matter, because where you spend the never-ending years in the next eternal life depends on what you say and you do now in this temporary one. The Bible tells us that we're all in need of forgiveness from God because we have all sinned against him. Solomon wrote in chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, "There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins." When we wrong someone, we seek their forgiveness so the relationship can be restored. Forgiveness is not granted because a person deserves to be forgiven, but it is an act of love, mercy, and grace. Forgiveness is a decision not to hold something against another person, even despite what they may have done to you. The only just penalty for our sins is death, because all sin is ultimately an act of rebellion against God. As a result, we desperately need God's forgiveness so that our sin debt can be cancelled in this life. If our sins aren't forgiven, we'll spend eternity suffering the unnecessary consequences of these sins. God, in his perfect plan, sent the perfect, beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to become human. At God's appointed time, Jesus died on the cross, suffering on our behalf the penalty that we deserve, the righteous anger of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul teaches us, God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus died on the cross, taking the punishment that we deserve. As God's Son, Jesus' death provided forgiveness for the sins of the entire world, if the world would just believe that Jesus had done this to save it. Thankfully, God is loving and merciful towards sinners like us. And he's patient with you too, not wanting anyone to be outside his kingdom, but wanting everyone to come into repentance and receive Christ's new life for them. God desires to forgive us, so he provided the way for this forgiveness to occur righteously and completely. We can't pay for our own sins by doing lots of good things, because our attempts are never enough to satisfy God's holiness. Instead, God's forgiveness of your sins is available when you believe in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after his crucifixion, he announced his victory over sin and death so that God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord is available to anyone who believes in him. Forgiveness from God can only be received by trusting in Jesus' perfect work for you. If you aren't in a relationship with God and you want to be free from condemnation and guilt, talk to him in prayer today. Humbly admit your many sins and ask for his free gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, because you know that the Lord Jesus has cancelled your sin debt once and for all. Then thank Jesus for taking your punishment. Ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit so that you may live for him and in him from this day forward. Tell a mature Christian that you may know what you've done, and seek their help for getting started in reading the Bible and talking to God in prayer. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Whoever believes in the Son, that's Jesus, has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not have life, but will remain under God's punishment." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again: John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.